I'm the preacher, and you're the congregation. It's my job to speak, and it's your job to listen. Please let me know if you get done with your job before I get done with mine. While those are going out, do you know what a eulogy is? Raise your hand if you know what a eulogy is. It's something spoken usually at a gathering at the occasion of someone's demise, and it's a way to reflect on the character of their life. How about a resume? How many have actually done a resume in the last little while, okay? That's a little different, right? They're both words about a person, but they're from a different perspective. They have different content, different kind of authorship. How about a biography? You know what a biography is. It's usually a second or third person, but it's a way to describe the course and character of one's life. Accomplishments and dates and places and all the rest. But how about a memoir? Do you know what a memoir is? Who writes that? I do. I write that about my own life. I write that about the course of my days. A memoir is a first-person narrative. It's a perspective on one's own knowledge, one's own experience, one's own emotions, the people in your life. It's my own interpretation of all of that, of the events and the relationships and the meaning and purpose of all that I am. Have you got a sheet? Hold it up if you got it. You're going to want to dig around and find something to write with, too. So if you've got to steal your neighbor's pen or go digging in their purse, you know, you could do that. But you'll want to do that. So let's get those distributed. All right. This is going to be a memoir of sorts, but I'll tell you more as we go. Memoirs that are really good, well, those are the ones that are the most, what? The most honest. And you can tell, if you read a memoir that, you know, that sounds a little shined up, it smells. It smells like somebody's bragging, or it smells like somebody's got some spin or something to hide. The best memoirs are the ones that are the most gritty. When the author, well, just lays their life bare. A really good memoir goes way beyond Facebook posts down to those deeper layers of one's life. In recent years, there's been kind of a mini movement on the internet, a way to figure out the most concise way to craft a memoir. And the purpose is to distill it, to crystallize it, to bring it to its most essential, to be short and punchy and to the point. In fact, so short that the idea is you do your memoir in 6 words. Have you seen this? Some say that it's inspired by this person. Do you know who this is? Can you guess? The man, Ernest Hemingway, kind of the king of the short sentence. Some say that this mini movement was sparked by something that he wrote a long time ago, and as far as I can tell, it's actually apocryphal. But there is a kind of a one-liner ascribed to Hemingway that goes like this: "Baby shoes for sale, never worn." Ooh, can you feel that? Can you feel the intensity of that? It's poignant. It's visceral. And it sure begs for more information, doesn't it? You got your small sheets? Are any words popping out of you about your life yet? Now, this is just purely a draft form, and I'll let you know ahead of time, but nobody's going to turn these in. You're not going to show your neighbor, and you're not going to, you know, show me what you've written, but maybe there are some things that are starting to bubble up in you right now about your life. Unrefined. Just a draft, right? Just some things scrawled on that little sheet. Maybe you could write a memoir that would be concise and essential, and frankly, most of all, one that would be true. What do you think? Let me give you a few seconds. I'll just be quiet and you write. Jerry, right. You're looking up. You have to look down. You have to look at your paper. Another 5 seconds. We'll come back to it, but there are examples along the way that sometimes help spur or spark or inspire your own imaginative word craft. Here's one that I've always loved. Coal always reminds me of Christmas. Do you see how these work? You kind of climb behind the author's noggin and see what they're after. This one caught my eye. Sick of trying, tired of lying. Wow. Yeah. I forgot this one at first, but let's try this one. Alzheimer's, meeting new people every day. I would never ever pretend to speak for my mother, but I do think that if she had pen in hand this morning, this is the one that she would write. There is no butter in hell. How about you, though? Have you got words yet? Are there words on your little form? Maybe it's 5 words, maybe you've got 7, or maybe you got 20 and you got to cut it down. How about this? Cried, defied, denied, sighed, and reapplied. Yeah. Some of us have been there. I really like this one. Brought roses home, keys didn't fit. I'll give you one more, and this is just only to prompt your own craft, your own work. I told you I was sick. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just has to be true. Doesn't have to be glorious. Just has to be honest. A few words, your life, your experience. Nobody's looking. Write something down. Too many of you are looking at me and not looking at your paper. Come on. In Scripture, Luke's gospel describes a Sunday morning almost 2,000 years ago, and the language that he uses is pithy. It is concise and full of drama. It is intense with emotion. And the most important truth that we will ever hear, Luke describes a tiny band of persons who make their way to that ancient garden. Maybe the sun was just starting to lighten the sky in the east. Maybe they could hear the sounds of the birds starting to chirp with the dawn. They could probably smell local cooking fires being built in the homes there. It was their plan, or better, it was their duty, to do as the law prescribed, and to anoint the dead body of their beloved rabbi. It was a duty of affection, a duty of devotion and love. I read the text, but do you remember who they were? They're named. Luke names them. And they're all women. There was Mary the Magdalene and Joanna. We know a little about her. There was the other Mary, who was the mother of James, and perhaps a few others. I wonder if they tried to write memoirs, what would theirs have sounded like? What sort of words might they have brought forth to describe and communicate the experience they'd had? Would Joanna write, "Ointment for sale, Rabbi's body missing"? Would Mary have written something? Would she have written, "Loved him, he's gone, now what"? Or maybe Peter, "I told him we shouldn't have come." Hold up your paper if you've got something on there. See, it's working. You're getting some. Michael's still working on his. He'll get there. Okay, all right. They were met by two in dazzling clothes, says the text. And it's kind of interesting. We don't know who they were. Were they just disciples we don't know about? They had dazzling clothes, so maybe they weren't the gardeners. Maybe, were they angels? But there were some messengers there, and they had their own six-word thing to offer. "Not here, risen from the dead." And you know, within weeks, it all started to happen. Within weeks, there were more appearances of the risen Christ, and within months, there was a growing movement of followers animated by the Holy Spirit of God. And then within years, there were adventures and travels as they would go to different places sharing this good news. And then even within generations, an empire falls by the force of love. And then even within centuries and a millennia, we're still telling that story and betting our lives that it's true. Have you got it down to six words? Some are nodding. Some are going, "What are you talking about?" Something brief, but honest. Something concise, but earnest. It's really only one slice of this larger pie, but it has the taste of the whole pie, right? A few more seconds. No one's looking. You got nothing to hide. You got nothing to prove. You have nothing to lose. Six words. Beautiful. Pathetic. Six words. Luck. Grace. Past, future. Six words. Who? Why? What's best? What's worst? What's stupid? What's lovely? The love of God raised Jesus from the dead. And even while he bore in his own person all of the kindness and all of the cruelty, even while in his own person he bore all of the compassion and all of the fear, what did you write? Was it something embarrassing or something impressive? Is it something obvious or was it something secret? Something that was easy to write or something that you're just scared to write? Can you hold it next to your heart? Whether it's five words or 12 or seven or six, God's love is big enough to raise Jesus from the dead. God's love is big enough to hold and to know and to redeem and to resurrect whatever. Whatever is right there in your hand right now. Let's pray. Oh God, we surrender. Our lives are a gift. The past, the future, it all belongs to you. So hold us and keep us, love us, and raise us from the dead. Amen.